And we have our guests in the studio this morning, Rick Ebsenshade, who is the host of a global music program on Wednesday afternoon when he's in town. Does a lot of traveling to the outer reaches. And we also have Dr. Jessica Greenberg, who is a professor at the university. So we'll have you guys introduce yourselves first, then we'll talk about your organization. Jessica, why don't you go first?
Sure. My name is Jessica Greenberg, as you just heard, and I am an associate professor of anthropology at the U of I, and I'm also a longtime community member and fan of WEFT. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Rick.
Rick Ebsenshade. I do the Wednesday Beat Blender on Wednesday afternoons, as well as being part of the Grateful Dead and Vault Hour Collective, so some Saturday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. I work on the Public Eye newspaper, been WEFT air shifter for about 10 years, been involved in other community stuff. I used to teach at the university, history professor.
Yeah. So welcome to both of you. And you're both involved in this rather new organization, very serious subject, though, Jews for Ceasefire, mm-hmm. Urbana-Champaign Jews for Ceasefire. So why don't we talk a little bit about how this group started and, you know, what are some of the things that you're working on?
Sure. Do you want to start?
I got an email from a colleague of mine on the Public Eye, Al Kagan, and he was trying to get people together in the early part of this year when the atrocities and the suffering and devastation in Gaza were becoming apparent and dragging on at that point. So we got together end of January, beginning of February, and it's been building from there. Jessica came on later.
I was really, I started at the beginning of this year, and it's been just an amazing experience. And I, you know, my understanding of the origin is after October 7th, which of course was a devastating tragedy for many, many people in Israel. After the scale of the Israeli state response to that became clear, a number of folks in the community, a number of Jews in the community, felt very, very strongly that it was important to take a stand, not in our name, that the scale of the violence, that the unfolding genocide not go unremarked and unwitnessed by Jews in this community as well. And so that was the impetus for coming together as a community organization. And I think one of the things that's been really powerful and amazing to me about being part of this group is, you know, in the face of something as massive as a genocide or the scale of violence that we're seeing, it's easy to feel helpless and it's easy to feel alone. And I think that those two feelings of helplessness and alone are, first of all, they're not Jewish principles. Jewish principles are togetherness and healing of the world and coming together as a community. And so this was an organization that really used those insights and those ethical commitments and values to bring people together to combat both the horror at the violence, but also that feeling of isolation. And I think it's exactly what the group has done, for me at least.
And yeah, I definitely understand the sense of helplessness. What is the hope for this organization? How do you have an impact on, you know, Israel and Gaza and all that being in Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah, that's a hard one. These are federal questions, and you can feel like there's nothing really you can do. But city council resolutions were something we started on early on. We put with some other people, we also work with Muslim Action Committee, put a resolution before the Urbana City Council. There was some resistance. It got changed, and there was a lot of debate, but it a pretty good resolution did pass back in the spring. And we've been working on the Champaign City Council since then, kind of a harder nut to crack. We got a resolution on the Cunningham Township ballot, question one. against aid to Israel and for ceasefire that passed 70 to 30. So we do believe that people can and should get involved in foreign policy locally because it should be our foreign policy and not that of those in Washington only.
Yeah. And actually, is it okay if I go ahead and read the referendum? It's very short. That passed. So this was the Cunningham Township referendum, the ballot initiative that passed. And it reads, question one, shall the United States federal government and subordinate divisions stop giving military funding to Israel, which currently costs taxpayers $3.8 billion a year, given Israel's global recognition as an apartheid regime with a track record of human rights violations? And that passed. And I think, and fairly overwhelmingly it passed. And I think the resolution is a really interesting way to think about this question of how do you act locally and why do you act locally, because not only is the resolution now out there in the world with democratic support and participation and a signal that our community collectively won't stand for our taxpayer dollars being funded or channeled towards these kinds of military actions in this and genocide, but it also became a rallying point for different people in the community to come together and get to know each other and to begin to build a coalition more broadly. So as Rick indicated, we worked with Champaign-Urbana Muslim Action Committee on this. And just to share with you, I had a really wonderful moment when we were in the lead up to the initiative and we were giving out signs over in Urbana by the post office that people could put in their yard. And I was chatting with a young woman I'd not met before, and a veiled young woman, and she said, oh, you know, until this, I didn't know, Muslim, she said, until this, I didn't know, I'd never met Jews who were so critical of Israel. And it was this really beautiful moment where we came together around a shared commitment to justice and to liberation that impacted both her family of origin and my family of origin. And we were able to come together in that moment and say, this is something we stand for together. And I thought that was really, it was really beautiful. So those are the kinds of things I think that are also important to sustaining local action in a global context.
That's a very good moment. I'm wondering, you would like to see a ceasefire. Is there anything ultimately beyond that ideally you'd like to see? Certainly a ceasefire immediately is the most important and the first step. Yeah. But what would you like to see beyond that?
Well, of course, we want a solution of justice in Israel-Palestine for Jews and Palestinians. What that would look like is a tough thing to figure out, and I think we have different views within the group. Some are for a two-state solution. Others think that the time has passed and that wouldn't be just anyway. So there are that and other questions that we haven't really come to a single position. That's why in our name it's Jews for Ceasefire, because that's the thing we all do agree on.
And I think beyond that, you know, there are a few different things that I envision as really central to answering this question in a long-term way. The first, more immediately in our committee, or in our community rather, many of us are engaged with different aspects of the university. And I think we also really see this issue as an academic freedom and freedom of expression issue as well on campus and more broadly and on campuses across the country. And so alongside issues of ceasefire and issues of justice in Palestine, we're really interested in combating what's been called now the Palestinian exception, which is the way in which speech around the issue of Gaza and Palestine more broadly has been curtailed or criminalized on our campus and more broadly in the country. And we have students who are facing felony charges for participating in protests, encampment protests, protests, which were, for those folks who were at those protests and those encampments, really very beautiful, very peaceful expressions of conscience, more than anything else. That included Jews, they included Muslims, included Palestinians, it included other allies across the community, particularly from Black and Brown communities. So it was, those were really important moments. And so we want to see those kinds of communities and allyships continue to flourish in our community. The other thing I would say personally that I want from this process is to really think about Jewishness and Jewish identity in the diaspora as not inherently linked to the state of Israel. And one of the reasons why we all came together is, and again, as Rick noted, we have different relationships to Israel. We have different relationships to Zionism in the group. They run the gamut. We have enough trust, I think, as an organization and as a community to be able to have those hard conversations. But one of the things that's really important to me is to link my sense of Jewishness and being able to belong in this community from the question of Zionism. And I think we have to do that in the diaspora.
I'm curious how many members you have, and do you need to be Jewish to be a member?
How many members do we have? Do we know? We have a very large email list. I think in terms of active members, we probably have a rotating group of, 20 to 30 folks that regularly come to meetings and community events. And we have lots of different kinds of events. So there are more explicitly political and advocacy kinds of actions, but we also have a core group of folks that are organizing alternative religious events as well, Shabbat under the Stars, around the high holidays. We had people who did alternatives to some of the services in the community. So it really depends. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the things we like to say about the group, and it's true, we go 18 to 80. It's very intergenerational, which is so, so much fun. But in terms of the broader folks on the email list, I think it's a much, much larger group. And we'll at the end, for folks who are interested in getting involved and bringing their voices to the group, we can give you an email contact if you want to reach out.
Yeah, that would be great. But I have a question. It's kind of, in the next month, we're going to be having a change of administration. What are your fears or maybe your hopes for any changes that might happen related to Israel and Gaza?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean,
I know
we haven't been very pleased with this administration. The current ending administration has not, sometimes has expressed criticism or caution towards Israel, but hasn't done anything, hasn't stopped any of the military aid that's constantly supporting the devastation and atrocities. Trump's position in the past has been very pro Netanyahu, pro kind of the extremist, most extreme kind of part of Israel and its government. So I don't hold much hope, but who knows? I guess a lot of people, Palestinians, would probably say, it can't get any worse. Maybe it can get better. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I am pessimistic about the incoming administration's relationship to this conflict, and it's only grown more complicated, obviously, now with the situation in Syria. I think in terms of the more immediate hopes for what we can achieve in our community, I think keeping eyes on Gaza right now, it is really, really important. And I think that one of the things that's happened with the increasing destabilization in the region is that, the Israeli state, Netanyahu, has been able to get much more of a free pass because eyes have now shifted elsewhere. And I think it's our job and our responsibility to keep eyes on Gaza, to keep eyes on the fact that this is an unfolding genocide. It is increasing in intensity. intensifying. It's not going away. And so I guess it's not necessarily a hope that the situation has changed so much as just a kind of urgent call to remember that this conflict is still at the heart of what's unfolding in the region, and we cannot forget it, and we cannot get distracted.
No, and you're absolutely right that the news media gets distracted. People get distracted. Now it's drones in New Jersey. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, where is Gaza in that conversation? It's not happening.
Yeah. I
just want to say that maybe Congress is a place that something could happen, and we have been had an ongoing campaign to push our local Congressperson Nikki Budzinski towards a better position on mm-hmm. Israel and Gaza. Not yet successful, but we have had demonstrations outside her offices and meetings with her, along with other groups.
Yeah. And divestment is key. That's something that we're working on as a group and working on in solidarity and coalition with other organizations in the community and across the country as well. At some point, the funding and the aid and the military aid and the economic investment, I mean, that language is louder than bombs, as they say. Yeah. And I think the long-term strategy also has to incorporate that.
So if there are folks interested in getting connected with your group, what is that email that they should contact?
Sure. It's contact, so contact, at ucjfc.org. And please drop us a line. And again, we're 18 to 80, and we're very open and very welcoming and interested in a range of perspectives and really committed in building this alternative Jewish community and voices here in the
Great.
Community.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Rick Esbenshade and Jessica Greenberg of Urbana-Champaign Jews for Ceasefire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.